Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Talk college football, specifically Oregon, Oregon State, Portland State. Orlando Sanchez, KGW, is with us. By the way, some good news over the weekend. Orlando Sanchez was named as the best sportscaster in the region. He won an Emmy over the weekend. Congrats, man.
Dude, that's awesome. Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Got to take a victory lap. Do you actually have the Emmy in hand? Do you have that hardware with you?
Dude, it's funny. You know, like everything else in the world that's going on, most years, like that's kind of the thing. Like most of us submit our stuff and we're hoping that we get nominated because there's this big party in Seattle that involves like all the stations and, you know, just people you haven't seen in a long time. And so it's just a big party, a nice celebration. You get to eat a nice dinner, you take pictures, you get dressed up, like it's really cool. So we're looking forward to that because our work is all submitted way in advance. You know, I want to say it was December when we put it all in. So that's like really what it's about. And so anyway, now it was all done virtually. And so they're going to mail us our little statues. So that's going to be fun to check the mail every now and then and see when it comes, because that's really cool.
You do a nice job, Orlando. And I know that, you know, in a lot of markets, at a lot of stations, viewers know that sports has been deprioritized and you don't see enough made of it. I enjoy doing Sports Sunday with you on Sunday nights. That will kick back up, I think, in the summer. But you do a good job with it and you pay attention to it. And so I appreciate that. Let's talk some college football. Oregon and Oregon State. What do you think those stadiums are going to look like? Are we going to be allowed in? Or what is it going to be? What is it going to look like in the fall?
Dude, just like the ever-changing environment that we are currently in, man. Like, I've set my expectations just low so that I cannot be disappointed or not as much disappointed. And so, yeah, that's something I've definitely thought about. But like, I feel like I get this question every now and then from people on social media, and I'm just like, I don't. And if we do, I think it's going to be such a small amount of people that are going to be in there. But hey, I'm hopeful that I'm wrong, and you know, this whole thing goes away, and we're back to normal, and all is well. But I've just been super realistic about it, and you know, setting my expectations low. But gosh, it would be so nice to get back to normal. And you just looking at pictures of what it was like being at those football games last year, and just all the joy and excitement that goes along with it. Like that's been such a bummer. And I really, really miss that. And, you know, even as for work and being able to cover them in person, all of that stuff, I'm really hopeful that it'll come back, because it's just not the same doing Zoom calls as our press conferences and working from home and, you know, sitting in my living room reporting and stuff. So yeah, John, that's kind of where I stand right now, is I'm just tempering expectations and keeping it low. And if it happens and we're able to figure this thing out and everyone is healthy, then it's going to be such a bonus.
We're already seeing teams around the country. Texas Tech had a positive test on the men's basketball team today that it confirmed. We saw Alabama had a few players that tested positive. I think that stuff is going to happen. I think we're going to have speed bumps and hiccups and dead ends throughout the season. But as far as fans in the stadium, Orlando, you've got Oregon State that has only about 14,000 season ticket holders. I think they're going to be okay. They can invite everybody in. They can space everybody out. They can say, hey, if you feel safe coming, come to the stadium. Wear a mask if you'd like. You know, we can take some steps to try to sanitize the stadium and make it feel safe. Oregon's got a different problem. 54,000-seat Autzen Stadium. Ohio State booked for week number two. How mad are those Duck fans going to be if they are told, look, we held a lottery, you didn't make it. You can go to North Dakota State, but you can't come to Ohio State.
Dude, I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. Like, as soon as I figured out where you were going with this question, I'm like, man, they are going to be mad. I remember looking at hotel rooms in the Eugene area for that week, and this was months ago. I mean, we were still doing Sports Sunday, John, and all of the hotels were booked. Like, you couldn't get anything in the area, and I know that, you know, most big games that's the case, but even so for this one and all the amount of people that would be coming and the crowd that Ohio State brings, like, this is a must-go-to game. And as a Ducks fan, like, the thought of, I've been a season ticket holder, I've been going to these games nonstop, like, this is my passion, I love this team, and to know you're not going to be able to get in that stadium, I can't imagine how ticked off some of these fans are going to be. But ultimately, like, if it comes down to health and safety, like, they've got to do what they've got to do to keep everybody as safe as possible and still allow some in. So, yeah, I'm super curious to see how that works out. And I know that will be an angle, like, one of the big stories, sidebars, besides the game itself, that I know we'll be interested in reporting on. And, you know, obviously before games, we always go out to the tailgates and just to see what the vibe is like. And I think this one will be different. It'll be unlike anything we've seen before, especially when you've got, you know, thousands and thousands of extra people hanging out outside the stadium when there's an actual game going on. It's going to be a trip, man.
Emmy winner Orlando Sanchez with us, KGW. Over the weekend, I wrote a column about Mario Cristobal. I think he is uniquely qualified amid adversity to lead. I think he's just wired differently. I think he's got principles. I think he gets it. I like Oregon this season in particular. I kept thinking they were 2 years away, and then amid a pandemic, amid, you know, a lot of programs not being sure what they can or can't do, maybe a positive test or a cluster of tests, I kind of think Oregon's built to withstand that type of thing. I like Oregon. Am I drinking too much Kool-Aid?
Nah, man. No, not at all. Like most things, I try not to be biased and not get caught up in all of the hype that goes along with it. But as you said, John, like, he just checks so many boxes. Even when it's in a press conference or he's being asked tough questions, just the way that he answers it, the way that he talks to people, it's hard not to believe in what he's doing and how quickly they've built it. Like, football is just a different sport and takes so long to create a culture or to create a winning attitude and to be able to move up the way it did. And then you think about guys like Justin Herbert and other players that are now gone. Like, how are they going to respond? And you're just seeing the amount of talent that's coming in year after year and the rankings that they're getting for recruiting. It's really impressive, man. So, I mean, I can't really knock you if you're going all in on Coach Cristobal, because what he's doing right now is just super special.
I got some Beaver fans, not all of them, but some Beaver fans who said, hey, come on. And some Washington fans who said, come on, you're drinking Kool-Aid there. I also think, look, I just think Washington takes a step back with Jimmy Lake. I just think that's a head coach transition. Chris Peterson's not there. He was worth something. And I put value in what Chris Peterson had done, and he was a proven commodity. Jimmy Lake, I don't know. And at Oregon State, I think Oregon State's going to be bowl eligible, and I think that's going to be a major step forward. But it's a different conversation when I start talking about winning the conference. Where do you stand on sort of that trio of teams?
Man, yeah, whenever there is a change of the guard at head coach, it's really tough to say, yes, this is the team to beat, even though Washington has been up there traditionally for so long. Yeah, that's a hard, hard prediction to say with Washington. So that I'm okay with them being good, but I just think it's going to take them a little bit to get going again and to be back in that championship mix. And a team like Oregon State, yeah, like, we think about where Jonathan Smith was when this thing started. Like, it's just going to take time. And we said this was a 4 to 5 year deal, whereas Mario Cristobal was walking into a team that he had already been a part of to win right away, whereas Oregon State was going to take some time to build that talent up, to get that depth that they need, and also improve on defense. And what Jonathan Smith has done has just been incredible. The strides that they made last year to flirt with a bowl game, man, he's so far ahead of schedule in my eyes.
Orlando Sanchez, KGW. Orlando, I appreciate you, man. Congrats on the Emmy. Many more ahead, and I will see you soon. And Sports Sunday, what's the plan for Sports Sunday on KGW?
Yeah, we're getting closer. We've been talking about it a lot. We're hoping to get this thing back up in a month or so, but it's still, we haven't finalized everything, but as soon as it goes out, we're going to blast it. It'll have it everywhere, and more than likely, I'll be doing Sports Sunday from home, man. So we've got to figure out a way to get this thing going. There's a lot of logistics involved, but we're getting close, and we're flirting with it. And as sports continue to take the baby steps towards coming back, it gives us a lot more juice to talk on TV for a half hour or an hour, depending on, you know, what time of the year it is. But as soon as we know, man, we got to get you back. And I miss working with you. It's something's just missing without you, you know?
Well, I appreciate that. It's good to be missed. Orlando, thank you, man. Orlando Sanchez, KGW. I wrote over the weekend about Mario Cristobal. And in particular, sort of one of the books that he told me he was reading a year ago. And I kind of touched on it on Friday's show that I just, when Mario Cristobal was named head coach, he's coached now two seasons plus a bowl game. When he was named head coach, I said, I think this guy's going to win inside of 5 years. Part of it is he's got Phil Knight. He's got the backing of Oregon. He's got the backing of Nike. I think Oregon is a have in the Pac-12 conference, and by virtue of that, is automatically a top half of the conference team. Now, you add in Mario Cristobal is a hell of a recruiter, and you fix, I think, one of the big detriments that he had in years one and two, his offensive coordinator. You trade Marcus Arroyo for Jerm Moorhead. And I know Justin Herbert's gone to the NFL, but I just never felt like Oregon really capitalized with Justin Herbert. They never made Justin Herbert the focal point of that offense. It frustrated me to no end. But I now look at it and go, okay, what did they lose? They lost Herbert. That's a tremendous loss. But the strength of this Oregon team next season is going to be defense. It's going to be Penei Sewell, the left tackle. They're going to run the ball. They're going to play defense. I think Joe Moorhead's going to matter. I'm working on getting Joe Moorhead on the show this week. And I just think it's a weird season. It's been a weird spring, right? Last couple of months, can I get an amen out there? I mean, it is a weird spring. We're homeschooling kids. We don't know what to do with youth sports. We're wearing masks. We're not wearing masks. We're wearing masks again. We're distancing. What's safe? What's not safe? That debate is, you know, going to come around. We got a cluster of positive tests. Now the state of Oregon reporting on consecutive days. It had its two highest days of new cases, but again, I'm looking at that going, okay, how much of that is the fact that we're testing more? I'm trying to be reasonable. I'm cautiously optimistic. I think we're going to have a number of programs that get into the season. And again, those workouts are starting across the country in college football. Those quote-unquote voluntary workouts that are not really voluntary are starting across the country in college sports. I think we're a couple weeks away from seeing some problems. But I look at that and I say, okay, what kinds of programs are uniquely qualified to deal with those setbacks? It's going to be programs that are led by people who can be a little versatile, who can be can adapt, can improvise, can overcome. I mean, it's the stuff that Mario Cristobal talks about on a daily basis. So I look at the way that this team's constructed, and frankly, I'm looking at the Pac-12. And not since 2010, when Chip Kelly was on the scene with Oregon, have I looked across the conference and thought, gosh, it's wide open for Oregon right now. Well, it's wide open right now for Oregon, again, a decade later. In 2010, you had Pete Carroll coming off his final season at USC. Lane Kiffin was on the scene. Yes, USC still had some good players, great players. They were very talented, but you had a new head coach, and you had USC sort of trying to figure out what it was going to be. And at Washington, you know, you had the Huskies that, you know, were still building. It was like a 5-win Husky team in 2009. So it was like everybody was down, and here came Chip Kelly, and Oregon was just right there. Right team, right time, right coach. Kind of feel like that's the case again. Jimmy Lake, new coach at Washington. USC, very talented, but Clay Helton's a lame duck. Utah is great, always really good and tough under Kyle Whittingham, but you know, Oregon took Utah's best punch in the Pac-12 championship game and just ran them off the field. I think Cal's going to be better. I think they're going to be pretty good in the North. I think Stanford will be okay plus. I think Oregon State will be bowl eligible. I think Herm Edwards and Arizona State, they're always interesting. But beyond that, I look at it and I go, this is Oregon's time again. And Mario Cristobal, he happens to be the head coach. I think he is uniquely qualified, just wired differently, to overcome and make a pandemic not matter. Keep an eye on that. Around the Water Cooler, the Culligan Water Cooler Report coming up next. My wife will join us in the 2 o'clock hour. Punch It Audio will be at the top of the hour here coming up. You always tell when the show gets really interesting. Punch It starts to float. It starts to float down the river. Sometimes it just floats right out of the show, but we're going to jam it in. We got great sound. I don't want you to miss it. It'll be right on the top of the hour. Every day at this time, we do the Culligan Water Cooler Report.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
I once had a conversation with Damon Stoudemire, former Trailblazer, about the NBA's drug testing policy. He said you had to be dumb to test positive for a drug in the NBA because the NBA's drug testing policy is set up for you never to have a positive test, in that if you are going to test positive, all you have to do is voluntarily enter the NBA's drug testing program. You don't take the test. You just voluntarily enter it, and you go through sort of their protocol, and nobody ever knows it. The public never knows. You're not suspended. It's designed to keep players performing and to keep bad news out of the news cycle. It's brilliant in that. Well, the NBA, it was revealed today, will not test for recreational drugs as part of their restart in Orlando. They will just test for performance-enhancing drugs. So they're not going to bother even conducting tests for any kind of recreational drugs in Orlando. Is this a good thing, a bad thing? Are you indifferent to it? What does this mean? Let's kick this around the water cooler. Alabama Adriana, NBA, 22 NBA teams going to Orlando. They'll test for PEDs, but not recreational drugs. Does that raise any eyebrows with you, or what do you make of that?
No, I like it, and especially if they're not testing for cannabis because it's legal in a lot of the states in the country and where a lot of these players live. So I like that they're staying away from that. I don't think it's necessary at this point to... There's already enough going on, you know? I think it's okay that they're just testing for PEDs.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to get the games in. I mean, at this point, they're saying, okay, how do we keep everybody safe? And by the way, the teams that qualify for the playoffs, after the non-playoff teams are excused from the island... The survivors that are going to play in the playoffs will have the ability to have family members join them. I don't think that necessarily recreational drug use in NBA locker rooms. I might be naive, but I don't think necessarily it is the problem now that maybe it once was. I think that NBA players do a better job today. I'm not saying problems don't exist. Don't misquote me on that. But I think they do a better job today of surrounding themselves with people who have their best interests in mind. And I do think that you've got players in today's game that understand that staying healthy and staying out of trouble and not putting things that would be bad for their body into their bodies. I think there's just much more, there's a heightened awareness for it. And I do think that attitudes about marijuana use have shifted, of course, across the country. We see legalization going on. And I heard a few years ago that NBA players felt, or GMs felt, that a bigger issue for players was alcohol abuse versus maybe drug use. So I wonder if the NBA is simply signaling to the public here that they haven't had a lot of positive tests when it comes to recreational drugs in the NBA. I'm not saying problems don't exist. I'm not saying guys, they're still not players out there that maybe have problems. But I kind of feel like the 1980s, 1990s version of the NBA had a lot more with cocaine abuse or maybe methamphetamine. And now that marijuana is viewed as maybe the kind of drug that could help players recover and deal with playing a long, rigorous schedule, I just think the attitudes about it have shifted in such a way that PEDs are a bigger issue. Judah Newby, what do you see when you hear the NBA saying they're not going to test for recreational drugs?
I think it's the right move. You know, part of me is just looking at the Orlando bubble, as it were. Like, this is not a stance for the future CBAs. It's not a stance for future whole seasons. It's just a stance because of trying times, getting everybody to Orlando. The NBA is already asking the players enough to have them be willing to get to Orlando, especially, you know, teams, West Coast teams like the Blazers. You know, why try to monitor recreational drug use? Florida already allows medicinal marijuana anyway. It's not fully decriminalized, but it's certainly a little bit more lax there than it is in some other places. This is the right move, and it's one of the reasons why the relationship between the NBA and the Players Association is probably the best out of all the major sports.
Dre in Portland has called in. What's up, Dre?
Jay, I had to switch the subject on you, man. I apologize.
Okay. That's all right. It's the water cooler. We can do that.
I got you. Not sure if you've talked about this yet or not, but last night, man, I saw something on TV, the 30 for 30 Bruce Lee special. That was me as a kid, man. Forget The Last Dance. Forget that. I wanted to be like Bruce Lee. I had a subscription to Black Belt Magazine. I used to watch Kung Fu Theater on USA Network every Sunday morning. Bruce Lee, man, that was special, man. I had to call you about that.
All right, I skipped Lance Armstrong. I'm going to watch Bruce Lee.
Hey, the Bruce Lee thing, you're going to be in the...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.